Siren Radio.
It's all right. Worry not, Gabriella, because I know clouded into the studio, but thankfully the sun has arrived with Abigail LeMay, so that's all great stuff. She's carrying a good copy of the newspaper as well. Although she's I would only describe Abigail's entrance into the studio today as very delicate. She's taking slow, deliberate footsteps as it suggests that she's kind of not quite fully conscious, but, you know, I'm sure that'll change in a few moments, will it not?
Hi.
Yeah. Exactly.
What an entrance.
Fantastic. I mean, clearly it's the Mickey Mouse design she's wearing on her, it's not a T-shirt, it's
my
a jumper.
Sweater. Yes, oh, yeah, jumper, exactly. Sorry. Yeah.
Normal English.
Technically, if you want to actually be really sophisticated and you find yourself in the Tyneside area, it's a Gansey, okay?
So that's a new one.
That's a new one to me as well.
That's a new one to me too, actually.
It's a Gansey. There we are. Obviously, Gabriella, you're well aware that jumpers in Newcastle are referred to as Gansies. You can test it with Ian Lennox later, just in case, because I might not have got the pronunciation right there. Abigail, what should we ask Gabriella at this time of the morning?
I want to know how Frodo is.
Whoa, straight in there.
Have we already asked? Because no. That's all I think about all the time.
It's true. I mean, when she goes back to the joys of Canada in a few weeks from now, I mean, I'm sure Abigail will be just tuning in just to find out what
is. Oh, you bet.
Constantly from that point of view, because it is, what are we, 3 a.m. in the morning in Canada now?
Yes.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, let's go for that then. Before we actually start going into the weather forecast, how is Frodo? And I bet she's going to say, I don't know, he no longer lives with me.
What? Yeah. I've moved out. You made that so dramatic.
I thought you were. I thought he died.
Like,
you scared me then.
You've made it sound as if I've abandoned my dog.
Not Shade River and Frodo in the same week. We couldn't cope. Anyway, carry on, Gabriella. The floor is yours.
Well, I moved out of my parents' house, and we were having a big think about Frodo and what to do, because they absolutely love him, and he's been with us for 4 years in that house. And I work sometimes till like 8:30 in the evening, so I'll work all day. And we were just having a thing, and it's really unfair to have him in the house alone while I'm at work all day for 8 to 10 hours, when he can be with both of them. They're both retired, which is like his usual. So he was used to not spending a moment alone. Or he did. He only spent like the time they would go to the shops or run errands, so maybe like a couple hours max a day, if that. So we're thinking of it, and even though he's fine with being left alone, I don't think he would be fine with being left alone for 8 hours plus every single weekday with me. So we've done a deal where he stays with my parents during the week, and then in the weekends, obviously, I can go him, he can come over, and so we'll do that. So basically, I'm not abandoning my dog, and he's not died, but
but you would say that
so
just not
better
to break people's hearts.
Well,
really.
It was just we had to think of the best thing for him, and the best thing for him isn't coming.
It's like being put into an old folks home, isn't it? Really,
it's best for you,
Frodo. I mean, honestly, Frodo, it's best for you. Never mind. I'm not sure, Gabriella, but I might have actually spotted a typing error in the Gibraltar Chronicle. The headline, colony footnote, is, I think the word you're trying to look for is Pyrrhic victory for Spain as opposed to Pyrrhic. I don't think there's such a word as Pyrrhic victory. There is Pyrrhic victory.
Unless there is one in Gibraltar, a bit like the sweater one in Newcastle.
Well, this is very true. So in terms of that whole notion of colony footnote is a Pyrrhic victory, I think Pyrrhic victory, i.e. sort of a gentle, sort of, you know, minor, sort of little, teeny, teeny victory, basically. Still baby steps. I suspect that putting P-H-Y, somebody's actually going to get their proverbial hands or indeed keyboard devices just sort of said it's not good. Anyway, that's okay. Maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe it's a Spanish writer or whatever. That's not the point. Whatever. Now, have you assuaged your curiosity, Abigail, about the state of Frodo? We don't know is the short answer. I mean,
we shall know by the end of the weekend.
It's kind of like it's going to be weekly updates in many ways now.
Yeah.
I'm sure
he's probably asleep, knowing him.
He's just a live Skype feed.
Yes, I mean, of course,
to his bed.
Lots of Exactly, we could just spend the entire time with you. Wait, I mean, on a day in which the UK's first country and western music channel actually launches today, without Tessa Snark, can you believe it? I think the Lord Sound and Country Vision is back on later at 7 o'clock, with actually an interview with one of the founding fathers of this new country and western station, although I thought they'd dropped the and western. It's interesting that on the newspapers today are actually solidly focusing on country and western stuff. We'll talk about that later. Abigail, what else do we need to know from Gabriella and Gibraltar?
The weather?
Yes, exactly. Precisely so. That's the way forward. So, Gabriella, I think that's your cue.
Okay, so the weather for Lincoln today is highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade, and it will be a fresh, breezy day with some sunny intervals.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
It's just as well we actually had the prescience to say with or without, because otherwise we'd have to rewrite the entire thing.
I always want Frodo on the show.
Yeah, well, sorry,
Laurie. I
don't
want him to go.
He hasn't gone, he's just living with the parents, that's all. You know?
Yeah, he's in a better...
Exactly.
My God.
Yeah.
He's always lived in my parents' house with me. So,
does he recognise you?
I've moved out. Yeah, it was a hard decision, yeah. But I was full on bringing him here, and then my parents were just like, are you really going to...
Leave him alone for 10 hours every day.
So long. And then I was like, no, that's not very fair. And they were like, exactly, we love him so much, we're keeping him, thank you. So they were like, give him to us. And I was like, okay. Well, he was already in the house, so they already took care of him while I was at work anyway.
It's so, part of the show. No, I mean... Yeah.
I'm going to their house this evening anyway, so I'll see Frodo.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. And, of course, he's still got his Instagram page, so you can follow Lord Frodo the Pug. Is that the right? Is that the correct one?
Yeah, Lord Frodo the Pug. I haven't updated it in a while.
No. Abigail, does your pet have a Facebook page?
No.
Why not? Does he not use the social media?
She doesn't cooperate with, being cute all the time. I mean, I think she's cute.
Unlike
all the time.
Yourself, obviously. I mean, because this is the beginning. It's 3 a.m. in the morning.
I'm much
just
more
so
cooperative,
cute.
And she is prissy, yes, so she's not. But
shout out for her name.
Oh, Izzy.
Izzy. Yeah, Izzy the uncooperative canine.
She's so sweet. Now I'm going to miss her. Now I'm going to be sad all day.
Oh, no. I can't possibly believe that. It's only a matter of weeks before you'll be sort of able to connect with us. And who knows, we could actually sort of have State of Consciousness of Izzy possibly on the Wednesday evening show.
Oh,
State of Consciousness
so
of Frodo on the morning show. Well, you've got to sort of replace Ollie and Obo some way. So it's replace, succeed in all sorts of ways. Okay, Ben, any other questions you want to put to Gabriella?
Yeah, have you got any more plans perhaps for the rest of the week and the weekend?
My weekend plans?
Yeah.
Going out for two dinners, Friday and Saturday.
At the same time?
They're very
one on Friday, one on Saturday.
Once on Friday, yeah. One each day at the same time.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just superb.
My favourite thing.
Well, there we are. One day we'll get over to Gibraltar, and one day I'm sure you'll be back in Lincoln, really, from that point of view. So that's all good stuff. All right, Rory, I think you can do this now. Big breath, control,
big
deliver.
Big breath indeed.
Yeah, final two questions. Take it away.
Well, Gabriella, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today on the show?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
And will you be coming back again soon with Frodo, hopefully? Fingers crossed.
No, he's living with the parents. Yeah, sorry. That's a red line.
One day.
In the words of Jeremy Corbyn and or Theresa May, that's a red line. They can't cross that. Frodo, it's hard border.
We can dream.
You can indeed. That's the way forward. Next week, hopefully, Gabriella will be back together with Phil Leonis if he gets his computer fixed. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very, very scary. But still, if he gets his computer fixed, he'll be back.
Let's begin.
I suppose technically we should use that around about October time, Peter Pumpkinhead. But it was the Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead. And if ever there was a call for, in terms of royal scandals, possibly Peter Pumpkinhead actually becoming the next ruler of the country. When, of course, you know, in a few years' time, England effectively becomes a republic effectively the incumbents of Westminster, or not Westminster, Buckingham Palace, etc., kind of... You know, sent off to some place like Gibraltar, effectively Peter Pumpkinhead might well take over. What say you, royal scandals expert from Channel 5 at 9 o'clock on a Saturday evening? That would be Richard Fitzwilliams.
Well, time will tell, but I certainly wouldn't be a good predictor of what's going to happen politically. One of the great advantages of what is happening is that the palace is keeping out of it, and it should.
I think that's probably sage advice.
Indeed, yes. And also, thank you for the plug for Saturday.
Did you see the way I subtly brought it in there? Channel 5, 9 p.m. After Manchester City have beaten Brighton in the FA Cup semi-final, you can it's the way
one of us found it incredibly funny.
exactly. Okay, we could have actually spoken of Dumbo, but tragically that's not on the Richard Fitzwilliams list of things that he's talking about.
Not?
Last night, thankfully, we had Robin Pierce to actually share some thoughts from Starburst magazine about Dumbo and Shazam. Which again, I'm surprised Richard... No, Richard today, as opposed to Shazam or Dumbo, has gone for The Sisters Brothers, it's a Western, and White Crow, probably about ornithology.
Indeed, I have. I may well reach a Dumbo. I would point out that these documentaries require an awful lot of prepping, and also I would mention that I've been doing various interviews on the baby watch, just preparing, you never know.
With respect, I mean, present company accepted, obviously, and yourself,
of
Richard, but I think baby watch is a very creepy title. You know, basically, everybody hovering around Meghan Markle saying, has he dropped yet? It's not a good line, really. It's not a good, you know, it's not,
well,
or
baby
she.
Baby Sussex is a rival, then. Will that placate you?
Baby Sussex's arrival? I don't know. I mean, I'll quote the line...
Do I detect a certain impatience? I mean...
I'd quote the line, the late great actor Shane Rimmer actually said when he was faced with a baby, the first words he actually said to the child when being born was, how do you like the planet you've landed on, kid?
Well,
so something like
reasonable,
that.
Reasonable thing to say, but remember there's that photo opportunity before he has a quote or two, and it's interesting, all the rumours that it may be the Lindo wing and so forth, but we will see, and there may well be quite a lot of time yet. There may even be the time for the second baby shower. I know you were wanting to bring baby showers into it at some point.
Frankly, you know, life without a baby shower, it's just unbelievable. And let's face it, Meghan needs every penny she can get to actually sort of keep her way through that whole process. Abigail, the arrival of Meghan Markle's first child, with, of course, Prince Harry. He was the gingerhead one. Mm. Still is, I believe. Unless he's losing his hair, I don't know.
All going grey.
I suppose I've just completely, in the last few minutes, destroyed any chances I've got of ever getting an invite to
I'm afraid you have.
Yeah, I know. I just realised that. You know, I was getting a PR officer saying, yeah, you realise you've just... No, never mind. Abigail, are you fascinated about the royal birth?
I wouldn't say fascinated. I mean, it happens to everyone. They get pregnant. They have a kid.
But I haven't.
I mean... You know what I mean.
I'm just saying.
You never know.
Don't think Rory has.
Can confirm, I think, neither of us.
Yeah, so everybody. Yeah.
All right. It happens to most people. But, so I wouldn't say I'm
don't
fascinated
think Richard has.
By it.
No.
Am I really alone in this?
It happens to some people, most certainly. It happens to a lot of people.
Yes.
We should compromise.
It does. Mm. And so... I'm not fascinated by it, but I'm excited for her, and I'm
excited. And also there is the point that in a time when, well, the words fail me, I'm not even going to try the adjectives. Even Alex would be beaten, I think, attempting to predict what's happening from day to day at the moment in politics. So this will make a nice change, putting it mildly, a very nice change.
Yeah, I mean, I just look forward to clearly the day when we manage to draw those red lines in the sand and do a whole variety of other bits and pieces. It looks as though we have a Prime Minister who's obsessed on driving us over a cliff, but that's by the by.
It is actually quite extraordinary. But as you say, it's... by the way, indeed, yeah. I mean, it's impossible to summarise, and by the end of the summary it'll be out of date.
I will actually quote from a little line which I thought was worryingly from a historical perspective, true to life, Richard. And this is the last word on the day itself, and it actually comes from the Scotsman. I suppose you could say they might have a little bit of bias here. But their line was, in the days before a war, a common theme is that everyone agrees that war will not break out because that would be crazy, and no one wants it to happen. The majority of politicians say that they do not want a no-deal Brexit because it would be crazy, and no one wants it to happen. That prospect now looms ever larger.
And whether it does or not, and that is, of course, debated, I was absolutely shocked, I must tell you, that it only failed by one vote yesterday. I mean, I don't understand that, but again, as you say, the subject is beyond belief.
Richard, we just have to keep going. Sorry,
on to brighter news, actually. On to very brighter news, un-Brexit related.
Ben, are you ill?
No.
I mean, being bright and positive.
Maybe.
Is Abigail's positivity...
who knows? Good. It's the sun, isn't it? It's the sun. No, Richard, if they're... Obviously, the baby's incoming. Do you know...
Incoming? It's not an RAF.
Incoming! Take cover, everyone.
It's a heck of a projectile.
It is coming. Do you sort of have any rough ideas of names for either gender that it obviously will be?
Bennett or
I
Benina?
I think so, because I think that they'll follow the usual royal tradition of choosing traditional names and probably names with special relevance. I mean, it's the 200th anniversary this year of Queen Victoria's birth, so I wouldn't be surprised if Victoria made an appearance. I mean, that is possible. And Arthur is, of course, if it's a boy, I mean, the mythical king. And also the fact that, you know, Charles Philip Arthur George was Charles. And then,
what about Prince Rory, after Rory Gallagher, of course, the well-known musician?
Well, I would suggest, Grace as an outsider, maybe, but as an actress...
Abigail?
What opinion do you want from me right now?
No, he suggested Abigail as a name.
Yes. Oh, I was going to say, I don't know what you're asking me.
Yeah. Let's just save that, Richard, because I know once the thing actually happens, you will be...
We'll have to see what the bookies are putting on.
Well, the bookies, I mean, at the moment, it's there's Diana, there's Elizabeth, for obvious reasons. But remember, I mean, royals can have, they can have as many names as they like. I mean, there was Alexandrina Victoria, and she preferred Victoria. It varies, the Queen, Prince Charles has four names, and then George and Charlotte and Louis have three. It does vary, but
it does.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if there might be a name linked with American heritage. Mm. I mean, we simply don't know.
Billy Bob of Charles. Billy Bob, Chuck Hank.
The third.
Exactly.
Junior, the third. There we go.
And Donald would love him, so that would be great. Yeah, there's a one. Okay, Richard, let's us move away from such frivolity and go back in time to 1961 when Rudolf Nureyev actually defected to the West.
Indeed, and I must recommend this film as being, I thought, absolutely remarkable. I saw it at the London Film Festival, and it's been a project that's interested its director, Ray Fiennes, a very fine actor, for 20 years. And I think one of the keys to the success of this movie, there are two reasons. Firstly, that David Hare, who, of course, is such a wonderful playwright, involves the audience by playing with the narrative. What we see is the Nureyev's childhood, then subsequently the period he spent in Leningrad, and finally it depicts his defection, which is the reason, or the special reason, that I thought this was such an excellent film, because although we know what happens when he defects to the West, the Bourget in France in 1961, the fact is this is the docudrama at its best. It really is well handled. This is electrifying cinema, and the editing's marvellous. And this is the sort of thing that I really enjoy. a very good cast. This isn't Yureyev in his early years. This is before he became the brilliant dancer. No one disputes that, but there's also no question that he became absolutely monstrously demanding. And if you read stories of how he metamorphosed, it's certainly extraordinarily difficult for those who had anything to do with him in his later years. But this, in the early years, you've got a portrayal by the Ukrainian dancer Oleg Ivenko, who hasn't acted before, and you've also got Fiennes himself as Alexander Pushkin, who was his mentor. There's a very good performance by Chulpan Kamatova, who was well cast as his wife Xenia, with whom Yureyev had an affair, though, as you know, he was homosexual, and that's one of the reasons that the defection to the West unquestionably appealed. He was a genius, no question about that as well. And one of the reasons he was able to defect was he had a devoted friend, Clara Saint, who was pivotal in helping him in what happened in the scene of the at the airport. And that's Adele Ekchakopoulos, who is, I thought, exceptionally good. And also the use of subtitles that works from time to time. You've got the attempt by Fiennes to make the Soviets credible villains, and I also liked some of the superb views of Paris and Leningrad. These are the tensions, of course, the height of the Cold War, the air atmosphere, enthralling dance sequences, of course, and the magic of the music to add to the appeal of the film.
Outrageously wonderful, Richard. I mean, just
I thought it was extremely good. I mean, it was good to see Fiennes get his teeth into it.
As we were saying in the studio, presumably these days, if we had an equivalent to Yureyev, he'd go to Brunei for sensitivity and training.
Oh, that is a terrifying thought. I mean, what is happening there is just beyond belief.
Well, never mind. Perhaps as beyond belief as the Sisters Brothers. Yes, Abigail, the Sisters Brothers. Who would have thought it? A Western about brothers who are called sisters. Amazing. Richard.
Amazing indeed, but an amazing film. I would confess to be a great admirer, just as I am of Ralph Fiennes. I didn't recite a lot of things that he'd done, but he's absolutely remarkable. I mean, to see him in God of Carnage, the play that I have to say I much enjoyed on stage was somewhat of an interesting experience. But the Sisters Brothers, from time to time, we get Westerns. There are not as many, obviously, as there used to be decades ago, but there are still quite a few. Now, this is a black comedy, and it's directed by the Frenchman Jacques Audiard, who's helmed powerful dramas like A Prophet, which did so brilliantly, and Rust and Bone, which I thought was also superb. Can he handle the genre, the Western, with panache? The answer is absolutely he can. It's been billed as the black comedy. Well, there are certainly funny scenes in it. You've got Eli Sisters, played by John C. Reilly, and those who've seen Stan and Laurel and Oliver Hardy's tribute movie to them, Stan and Ollie, will have seen him as Ollie, and also seen his characteristic bonhomie. Well, here he's got a ruthless side, because both the Sisters Brothers are hitmen. They are assassins, that's Eli and his brother Charlie, played by Joaquin Phoenix, hired by a powerful crook known as the Commodore to track down Herman Worm, played by Riz Ahmed. Remember him in Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal? My goodness, what a movie. Well, he's playing the scout. John Morris is Jake Gyllenhaal, and who finds him, likes him, and teams up with him, even though the Commodores sent him to be part of the entrapment. Worm is an interesting character. He's a gold prospector, and the Sisters Brothers are told to obtain the formula he is using by torture, if necessary, whereas Worm is, in fact, a thoroughly decent chap who wants to create a utopian community with the prophets that he and Morris actually go to the extent of kidnapping Eli and Charlie. But then the four of them subsequently face gangsters sent by the Commodore to track them down and, of course, find the formula. It is a very dramatic movie. Now, I have to ask a question here. Have any of you noticed that when there are scenes, as they invariably are, every Western, or practically every Western, featuring gunfights, do they sound realistic to you?
Okay, let's take that question and throw it, first of all, at Ben. Do the gunfights in Westerns sound realistic to you?
Usually, yeah. I mean, perhaps they might use, I think, imitated sound. I think that's what they... I forgot the name.
Foley.
That's it, yes. So a gentleman in a studio making the noise. Yes, but... I'm usually quite impressed with it. Yeah, the coconuts, the horse...
Yeah, Rory.
Perhaps the gunshots aren't as loud as they would be in real life. But aside from that, I think the way that they sound is fairly accurate.
Authentic is the word.
Authentic.
Abigail.
I don't watch too many Westerns, but I'm sure they sound real. However, at the moment, all I can hear is in my head are those really loud, drawn-out pew sounds.
Pew, in your ear. Exactly.
And so, you know, maybe...
Listening to the sounds of Abigail's consciousness is just a series in itself, Richard. It's fantastic.
Well, I have to tell you that this movie, it reminded me that in all the other Westerns I've seen, they haven't been as real as they have been here. It begins with a very dramatic gunfight at night. And I've never seen gunfire sound as realistic.
Or heard.
There was something done to the sound. There's no doubt about it. And whereas I haven't fired any pistols at anyone recently.
No, Richard, because you're in London, you use knives, obviously. It's different, you know.
Right, you are.
Pistols,
yes,
in Washington. It's different country, cultural things.
Well, I have to say, I really thought that they were much more realistic, and I was very impressed. And visually superb, too. Atmospheric music, very fine sets. They spent a lot of money, including recreating San Francisco very briefly. One little problem I had with it, a bit of a suspension of belief. When you have men as ruthless as these brothers, well, their characters may, no spoilers from me, alter a bit as the film progresses. But it's pretty gripping, and is it more dramatic than comic? Well, there's a scene where a tarantula crawls into the open mouth of a man sleeping in a forest, and this is a macabre image. It makes the person concerned, who doesn't know what's happened, extremely ill. It's absolutely unforgettable. There's also a scene where there's a gold prospecting. Now, beware, anything to do with gold could have links with greed. Remember Treasure of the Sierra Madre?
Of course, I mean,
yes, indeed. So, again, no spoilers, but there's a dangerous allure to this fabled metal. I have to say, one of the sad things about this movie is it cost a lot of money, and it's bombed at the American box office. It's only just being released here, but I thought it was excellent, and I think it's fascinating character studies and a very good plot.
In the words of Phil Leonis last night, actually, old hat when I said which movies you're going to be reviewing. Still, Phil might be back with us next week. Okay, if his computer's fixed, you never know these days. Let's do a quick test then. I don't know, very confusing. It's not Black Swan, it's White Crow. Can they not think of different names other than sort of different colours and birds for these dance-based movies? Anyway, White Crow.
I mean, it's Black Swan was unforgettable. A movie to savour, you would agree.
Yeah, indeed.
You have to see it. You have to watch it twice for good luck, do you? Or?
No, but it's advisable because it's got Natalie Portman in it, and what's not to appreciate about Natalie Portman?
Going yes, and Mila Kunis. Oh, yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Abigail, would you be checking out White Crow?
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I saw the posters, but I haven't seen a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And even the posters were intriguing, so...
Well, again, if you want to be true to the Fitzwilliams mantra, you will never see the trailer. You will simply go and see the movie.
Right, that's what I did with us, and it worked fabulously.
Unless it's Lion King.
Exactly.
See the movie on the big screen. You were going to add that.
Or your phone.
No, don't start, Ben. Rory, The White Crow, or White Crow, in fact. No definite article, just White Crow.
I think I will be, but I will have to save up some money because all my movie spendings have gone to Avengers Endgame recently.
It is apparently The White Crow, but it the point is, go and see it because it's got this particular... It's a fascinating story.
Okay.
It is well done, but my goodness, it's that scene at the airport and the way that's edited, and the way, even if you know, as I say, what's going to happen, if you can ratchet up tension like that, it's got to be seen.
Ben.
It should be seen.
Ratcheting up tension, a bit like will you or will you not pass your driving test? He passed, by the way, Richard, just in case.
Yes, I
spoiler.
I would watch them both actually.
So yes to yes to the sisters brothers.
Indeed, yes. And in fact, I've got another question because Richard. I mean, I've been seeing quite a lot of hype in the last couple of days of Joaquin Phoenix's new film, The Joker or Joker. Is it something you will be interested in reviewing in the near future?
I don't know when it's out, so I should certainly look at that, because anything he's in is usually worth it. I mean, if you look at his recent movies, and I mean, the Lynn Ramsey film was perhaps one of the very, very best. I mean, he's extremely good. Remember, it was Johnny Cash with opposite Reese Witherspoon. I mean, he does make
as opposed to Reese with other cutlery pieces available. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Reese with a spoon, or Reese with a fork, or Reese with a knife.
Oh, Alex.
Sorry, just couldn't resist. Sorry, Reese.
It's my kind of joke, and I get booed off.
Yeah, probably extreme contact has actually led to contamination. Rory, will you be checking out the Sisters Brothers? If you could afford to.
Yes,
as opposed to Avengers Endgame.
Same answer,
subject to finance, okay.
Subject to finance.
And Abigail.
I think I might.
So what are the last two questions, Abigail, you're now going to put to Richard Fitzwilliams before we actually have a special dedicated Rudolf Nureyev number coming through?
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, absolutely, and it's also been wonderful to discuss two films that I thought were absolutely first class.
And The Royal Baby.
And, well, yes, and we'll be returning to it, Alex.
I suspect so. And don't forget Royal Scandals. Do we get any sneak peeks about what Royal Scandals is all about? Is it scandals to do with royalty?
That's true.
My word. These Channel 5 programmes. It's like a documentary, maybe. A world created for reality. A world conjured for a purpose. Next question, Abigail.
Will you be joining us again?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And I should do my best to catch up with Dumbo.
Oh, I should hope so. He's not that fast, but he does fly very well. And if you like Tim Burton movies, you love Dumbo. You got Eva
and
Green.
And if you don't love Tim Burton movies...
he's got to learn to love the whole preacher.
Who doesn't love Tim Burton movies?
Well, I'm afraid, I mean, what about the Demon Barber of...
Johnny Depp was in there, you know? I mean, the Demon Barber, what about Edward Scissorhands? What about Batman? A whole range of things there. What about, in the words of Rudolf Nureyev, that he probably never said, what about Dizzy Rascal?
My eye on the movement, I can't see no room for improvement. But when you're all over there on your Jack Jones, you need to let me get behind your backbone. Cause I'm the man for the job, let me work here. I won't waste no time, I make it worth it. 100%, I make it worth it. You got a body to die for, let me work here. Now it's murder on the dance floor. I wanna take this further than the dance floor. I ain't fool's fool, but I'm still hardcore. You're gonna give me everything I ask for. It's not a long team, you're the boom team. Maybe more than a hotel room team. I'll never know if I just walk past. I really wanna dance, so I guess I'll just pass.
She is no ho. Look at those thighs, it's in her eyes. She's good to ho. She can satisfy my mind, body, and soul.
Come and dance with me. 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 I see you glance at me. That's why I'm asking, B. So let's party, B. Come and dance with me.
If I'm out on my own, then I can look at you looking at me. If I'm out on a date, then I just shut my eyes, then I can see. Get away from the bar. Tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw. And dance
with you
me.
Glance at me. That's why I'm asking, B. So let's party, B. Come and dance with me. Yo, it goes on and on. I see you get excited like this is my song. You think I wanna get involved, you are not wrong. Cause I've been waiting for this moment all night long. So I creep, creep, creep like to your seat. I've got my left eye checking out your scenery. I've got my right eye right where it needs to be. No matter how I look at it, you look good to me. Still, I'm looking for the perfect view. The way I see it, that's right next to you. I know you probably heard it before, but still, I love it when you flex like that for real. So don't stop doing what you do when you do it. I just wanna be a part of it when you do it. Like a wally if I don't pursue it, and I can't go through it, so let's
she
get to it.
No ho. Look at those thighs, it's in her eyes, she's good to ho. Oh.
you can satisfy my mind, body, and soul.
Come and dance with me, come and dance with me, come and dance with me, come and dance with me. I see you glance at me, that's why I'm asking, B. So let's party, B. Come and dance with me. I know you didn't come out to stand and stare. You bought new shoes and you did up your hair. You made a real effort tonight and it shows. I can tell by your face you don't want to be alone, because the mood is right and the time is now. And if you can't do it, I'll show you how. What you gotta do is get loose, let go. Just throw a couple shakes, put your skills on show.
So much better than get your coat largely you've pulled or whatever. Get your coat from a bar, tell your boy. I mean, Ian Lennox, you're a key Dizzy Rascal fan. Are you that man?
They're not bad, are they?
It's a single person, Dizzy Rascal. And did he do Bonkers, or was that somebody
yes.
else?
Yes, he did do yes. Bonkers. And he did the World Cup song with James Corden many moons ago.
He was at the Olympics 2012 ceremony. What? As well, I think.
That's our trivia for Dizzy Rascal done this morning.
Not quite, because Abigail said, oh, quaint British classic. I think an official line. Very good. I think so.
Maybe Ian, in Canada.
A few moments ago, whilst commenting on Abigail's sartorial elegance this morning, not that she's normally sartorially very well clad in all sorts of ways, I did comment on the fact that she's wearing a sweater/jumper with Mickey Mouse proudly emblazoned upon it. And I suggested if she were in Newcastle, have you been to Newcastle on Tyne, Abigail?
No.
Next year, obviously, when you return, hopefully. The word would be Gansey. Is that correct or incorrect, Ian?
Yeah, it's Gansey. Gansey was a jumper up here, yes.
Look at you go! All
of
this knowledge!
No, it's just...
He's sounding like a Mickey Moose Gansey.
Exactly. He's not swearing, Abigail, don't worry.
It's exactly.
It's why, hey, pet, how you going? How you doing? And various, I mean, obviously, I'm not authentic Geordie because I'm 40 miles south of Geordie land. Ian is hardcore Geordie. That's the key thing. So, any questions you'd like to ask about the Geordie culture, Ian Lennox is your man.
I'll lie my head off.
Yeah. Much like politicians do these days. So there you are.
Right. Well, why are these days?
Oh, hello. Are you making tea?
Did you spill your tea? Yeah,
exactly. Have you knocked the cup over, Ian?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, no.
Lord
above.
My favourite cup is lying outside, unblemished though.
At least it's not smashed. There we go.
No, exactly.
I don't think we'd be able to cope with the effects of that. I mean, we'd have to get Arthur in to write a tragedy. We'd have to do it.
Arthur's had to go to hospital today. He's going to have a hip operation eventually. And he's gone for a... So he asked me to tell you that he couldn't appear.
Well, please give him our very best, and please don't tell him we didn't even have him on the schedule. So that's okay.
He knows that, children. He didn't want you anyway.
And then when he comes
I'm back.
When he comes out of hospital and it all goes successfully.
Oh, no.
When he comes out of hospital and it all goes successfully, we'll say hip, hip, hooray.
He is a hip hop artist, obviously.
There you go.
Sorry, he's got a bad finger, right?
Abigail, you may know this from your recent sort of trek to hospitals and various other bits and pieces, but who authentically is the coolest chap you want to encounter in a hospital? You know, the guy, or indeed the gal, etc., is really with it. Sound operator, because he's sound.
Is this like a specific person?
I just
something?
Said it's sound. If the sound operator,
have you found some
if the sound operator wasn't there, you'd actually go for the hip replacement guy because he's so hip. Sorry.
I get it. Yeah. Okay.
He's found a new batch of Christmas crackers, hasn't he?
It's coming around to Easter, so we must never actually sort of stop keeping the celebration of Christmas amongst us and with our times. So, Ian. clearly over the weekend, a critical time for a Brighton supporting newly driving test passed individual. He was thinking of going to Wembley. He's not. He may come to Scarborough, because we'll get back in time. We don't know. I think, are we making a decision on that as yet?
Oh, shall keep you informed.
Exactly.
Why Scarborough? I'm sorry, I've lost track of this.
Sci-fi Scarborough. We like to geek beside the seaside. Just say no more.
Right.
Followed by...
I knew somebody like that once.
Oh, yeah.
I knew somebody like that once.
Followed by Withernsea. It's just, so we bring the listeners so much good stuff of us, and we kind of bring the outside inside, or to the ears of the world, which is very good. But what are your thoughts on the FA Cup semi-finals? Because obviously Newcastle have been quite away from the FA Cup semi-finals for many, many, many years.
Oh, we don't concern ourselves with things like that.
Is that so? Yeah, so
no,
no. So what are your thoughts? You know, do you think, is it going to be a case of you'll be supporting Watford no matter what?
I've forgotten who Watford are playing.
Wolves.
They're two of the sort of mid-ranking teams, aren't they, really?
Mm-hmm.
They've got some good players, play some nice football, they attack people.
Mm-hmm.
Even away from home, they attack people.
Mm.
So, I don't really mind who wins, really.
Oh.
I hope they both win.
Well, they can't.
I know.
Ian, who do you think could be the third team?
Impossible dream, Alex.
Ian, who do you think the third team would be to go down?
Non-Man City. Oh, the thing will go down. I fear it'll be Cardiff, and I really feel sorry for them because I saw that game about a week ago where they got some terrible decisions against them.
But then again, that happened against Brighton with Cardiff, so Cardiff got the advantage and they won. So
did they? Right.
I think that's karma in its finest form.
People say it evens out, but I don't think anybody can prove that at all. It doesn't. You get bad results and you get good results.
Yeah, it's football, though, isn't it, I guess? That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah. Ian, did you ever follow Canadian ice hockey, or is that something that you've never got into?
I've never seen it, but I envy my sister who lives out in Edmonton, because she saw the greatest player ever, a guy called Wayne Gretzky, when he was in his prime. He played for Edmonton. Oilers,
I see. Abigail's just got a beatific smile upon her face. Just saying, Wayne
really?
Gretzky.
The only one that knows.
He's my dad's favourite player.
You are.
Hey?
He
yeah.
was like a legend.
Get close to the microphone.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Otherwise, we think you're not only are you slightly small, but also you're well away from the microphone. Like, exactly.
Yeah, no, he's my dad's favourite player. So, like I said, he's a legend in our household. We love.
Oh, yeah. Gretzky. I mean, there's no one who doesn't say he's the greatest player that's ever lived out there.
Actually, and he's got a bunch of. Wineries in Canada.
He's, I think.
Like, very popular. He's got a restaurant.
Can you grow grapes in Canada? I thought that you'd
yes.
be really?
Yeah.
They have vines?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because he left Canada midway through his career, didn't he? He went to play in America.
Yeah.
So he's obviously come back. I don't know where he was born.
Canada.
Yes, I know, but I don't know which part of Canada.
Oh.
Is there any trivia, you know, Abby, that we can do with that?
I just know that he's the best. So what else am I really supposed to know?
We'll get there.
Siren Radio with more trivia on Dizzy Rascal than
Mark Gretzky.
I think Gretzky used to play with Mickey Mouse jumpers on as well.
There we go. Number one fan over there.
Very impressive. In the next hour of the programme, we'll be speaking to Gabby Roslin, of course, TV presenter and Well Child Ambassador. And the Well Child organisation is something which effectively is coming up with another great opportunity for people to get involved with this Well Child. The Royal Patron, Duke of Sussex, is a strong advocate for Well Child's work in getting the inspirational Child or Young Person of the Year, Outstanding Professional, Most Caring Child, or indeed young person. So the Well Child Awards, Ian, is that something which you think, that's something I want to write a novel about?
I've never heard them before, to tell the truth to them. Yeah. I'm sure it's a good cause. But
of course it is.
I'm busy on my own little tome at the moment, so...
Right.
Well,
the
Well Child will have to wait.
Well Child. Nomination phase of the 2019 Well Child Awards is now open. It highlights the inspirational qualities of the UK's seriously ill children and young people, and the doctors and nurses who go that extra mile for them. So it's all very wonderful and good and just joyous, which is great. So do we get any sort of sneak previews about what your novel is about? So the 12,000 words of which you've written or wrote?
16 now, Alex.
16, there you are. It's only another 70-odd to go and it'd be there.
That's it.
So
it's about
a newspaper office in the 60s, or set there, and it's about a man who's basically an outsider. He doesn't really try, though he's talented, and he's not well liked in the office. And it's about how he gradually is coaxed into doing features and things, which he's very good at, and how the attitude of the people working with him changes towards him, but he sort of and how he reacts to that. It's all sorts of little things going on. He's got a very close relationship with an old lady who lives across the road from him, who had to leave school when she was 14, and she tells him that he sees his life as he doesn't see it. He sees every life. He sees everything in every problem. He sees everything in life as a problem, not an opportunity.
So a bit like Ben.
She had to work her way up.
Or yourself. Everything's a problem. It's always an opportunity. You've got to look for that opportunity in every little challenge that's set, and then you realise that living in the present is just that. The present. It's a present. It's a gift to you. It's wonderful. I'm thinking a little bit about how Abigail can have little memories to go back to Canada for, and I'm thinking you haven't actually heard Harry Palmer's version of Toon Toon Army, have you?
Oh dear. Hold your ears.
Well, you know, I mean, Dizzy Rascal might have complex lyrics, admittedly, but I think this is something you could probably actually use to sort of just spread the word. I mean, I'm doing this on Ian's behalf, of course. Ian, would you like to explain to Abby why Toon Toon Army is a really important sort of phrase for folk who wear black and white
right.
shirts?
It's basically a patois. A toon in Newcastle means Newcastle, the town. And the army is the supporting band of supporters who support Newcastle United. So they chant Toon Army at games and frighten themselves.
So have you got that, Abigail?
Okay.
Here. So this is it. So this is Harry Palmer.
Since Graham Jacob in here.
Exactly. There is a Graham J number in here, but this.
Right, I've not got the equivalent, Alex.
It's extraordinary. You know, 2 minutes worth. I mean,
sing better songs.
I'm sure I'll be humming this during the course of the whole day.
Oh, my blood's stirring now. Who was to win a corner kick?
I'll leave your microphone on, Ian, because I think that the sort of talking over thing will be great. So just carry on in your own way, ad lib. This is an Abigail where Freddie could break into some Dizzy Rascal material, you know, with a whole range of other factors. Rory, I can see you're already tapping your toes.
Yes. You got me.
And Ben, I bet you wish Brighton had something as awesome as this.
We do, you've just not heard it yet.
You've gone very quiet, Ian. Have you just given up the whole thing? Or is it just a case of, no, we can't take any more of Harry Palmer's Toon Toon Army medley?
Are they lyrics in this?
Yes, you'll hear them in a few seconds.
That's the bleeding races.
Translating for the benefit of subtitles there, you had a strangely spooky and, I have to say, slightly worrying voice saying, N-E-W-C-A-S-T-L-E-U-N-I-T-E-D, Newcastle Army, Toon Toon Army.
We've won a corner kick.
Yeah, so, Abby, does that help you with a cultural sort of reference to actually say, well, I've done Lincoln, I've done Iceland, I've done Edinburgh, I've done Lincolnshire, but what about Tyneside? That's next on your list of global triumphs to go through.
Yes, this has officially sold me. I must go.
Yeah, there we are. Anyway, Rory, have you done Newcastle?
I have not, nor have I ever heard of this song either alongside Abigail. But
I have.
Wow, it sounds like quite the place.
It is. Full of so much happiness. I mean, I was very tempted to play Kevin Keegan singing Head Over Heels. But then I thought, maybe not. Next time, though. Okay, Abigail.
hello.
Would you like to put those last two questions to Ian Lennox, please?
Sure. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have. I thought Wayne Gretzky was the highlight, didn't I? Mm. Yeah.
Love talking about Wayne Gretzky,
even though
my knowledge is
Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky. Don't give up the day job, Alex.
Okay. Oh, and then the next one. Will you be joining us again?
I do hope so, yes.
The Civil Aviation Authority are launching a new campaign this week to alert Hajj travellers and inform them of the potential dangers of booking their August pilgrimage online. With 25,000 British Muslims looking to make the pilgrimage this year, the campaign that we'll be talking about after the news aims to ensure that no trip is ruined by disreputable travel agents or deals. Yes, disreputable travel agents or deals. And to talk about that, we'll be speaking to a spokesperson for the Civil Aviation Authority. That would be the wonderful Paul Smith.
FM. FM. Online. Online. Mobile. Mobile. This is.
This is.
Siren Radio. Lincoln. Siren Radio.
And the weather today, highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a day of sunny intervals with a fresh breeze. Before the news, we were talking about this story that features the Civil Aviation Authority and the notion that 25,000 British Muslims are looking to take their pilgrimage this year, and a new campaign that's hopefully ensuring that no trip is ruined by disreputable travel agents. And we're delighted to welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition now the director of the Civil Aviation Authority, the fabulous Paul Smith. How are you, Paul?
I'm very good. Good morning.
Excellent. Paul, this is something which must admit caught me by surprise in terms of that, but a whole range of scam travel agents taking part in this. When did you first sort of find out about this particular challenge to, obviously, people's travel happiness?
Yeah, well, this has unfortunately been a growing problem where people are posing as reputable travel agents, but in fact are or disreputable, engaging in various practices, not having the at-all protection that means that people's money is protected, but also perhaps not providing the accommodation they say they're going to, not to the standard that's expected. And what we're launching in our campaign today is really to encourage people to look for a trustworthy travel agent, make sure it's got at-all protection. We've got a website, www.packpeaceofmind.co.uk, where you can put the company's name in, check that it's got that at-all protection, and then you can travel to the Hajj pilgrimage with a real sort of peace of mind that your holiday's going to your trip's going to go well.
Fake websites, just one of the systems that's set up in this this world that kind of attracts people's hard-earned cash and so on. What examples can you give us of some of the scams that you've actually encountered from your own perspective, Paul?
Yeah, so we've worked with Trading Standards to prosecute over a number of years a range of companies. Some of it is just advertising that they provide this at-all protection when, in fact, we don't license them. So that might be just displaying the at-all logo but no license number. On other occasions, it can be claiming to provide accommodation that is not provided, advertising a particular standard of accommodation. Unfortunately, just making away with people's money and not providing what's expected, and that can ruin a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Hajj pilgrimage. So, as I say, what we really want people to do is you know, look for that trustworthy travel agent and really focus on making sure they've got that at-all protection.
Ben, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, so just that kind of how many people roughly a year get scammed by these criminals?
So we don't have precise numbers. We know that about 25,000 British Muslims look to go to the Hajj pilgrimage each year, and this is the peak booking time. So that's why we're really focusing on it at this point in time. This is the time when people are looking to book those trips. We're seeing an increase in online booking as well as the traditional travel agents, which again opens up another avenue whereby people may be scammed or maybe deal with somebody disreputable. But we've had a steady stream, unfortunately, of companies that we've worked to prosecute over recent years. So this is a significant number of people, but the more that we can focus on encouraging people to look out for that at-all protection, check our website, as I say, www.packpeaceofmind.co.uk, and hopefully we can reduce the number of people affected by this.
Ben, when you had a look at the story this morning, I think you're quite surprised by it. Any thoughts from yourself? Or rather, Rory. I've just spoken to Ben. It's one of those days, Paul. Carry on.
So, how do people come across these disreputable travel agents? Like, what's the most common ways that people find out about these?
Yeah, well, I mean, people are often very trusting of perhaps a shop that's been in the high street, you know, for quite a long period of time. Perhaps they look and they see the Atoll logo, but they don't really check. They don't look closely. Sometimes perhaps it's a faded logo. Sometimes there's no license number. It's really just checking that bit closely. And sometimes a recommendation isn't always the best way to proceed. So it's really, as I say, trying to find that trustworthy travel agent. And if they are trustworthy, they won't mind if you go on our website, have a little look, check if it's got an at-all, because they'll know, they'll be confident that you're going to find they have got an at-all. It's the ones that are disreputable that will be discouraging you from making that extra check. And what at-all protection does is it makes sure that if there's any problem with your holiday in terms of the company getting into difficulties while you're abroad, we help you while you're abroad. And if you haven't travelled yet, you get a refund, which means that you would be able to then rebook a different trip to the Hajj pilgrimage without being out of pocket.
Abigail, you've been travelling extensively recently and flying all over Europe and so on from Canada. Was this something, I mean, obviously not on a pilgrimage, although I suppose exchange to the University of Lincoln can be seen by many as a pilgrimage, but any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I think it's terrifying because I wouldn't even consider anything to be a scam. It just wouldn't cross my mind. So I'm just curious if you have any, like, telltale signs that there's something fishy going on.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, often what you find is that that people perpetrating these scams are good, as it were, at trying to trick people. So, as I say, they will display what appears to be an Atoll logo. Perhaps they might even display a license number, even though it's not a valid license number. So, really, the way to be absolutely sure is to go to our website, packpeaceofmind.co.uk, put the company name in, check it really does have Atoll protection. Another important thing for the Hajj pilgrimage in particular is make sure that your package includes a visa. Make sure that the travel agent is going to provide the visa. Watch out for hidden costs, adding stuff on like airport fees and accommodation fees. And if you do have find that reputable travel agent with the Atoll, then you can be much more confident that your pilgrimage will go well.
Well, you've raised a number of key points from that point of view, and indeed given us some useful websites. Just a reminder once more, if we may, the best website you'd suggest people should go to find out further details?
Yeah, packpeaceofmind.co.uk. Put the company name in, check they're a reputable travel agent, check they've got the Atoll protection, and then your holiday and your trip to the Hajj pilgrimage will be able to be undertaken with that peace of mind.
Paul Smith, Director of the Civil Aviation Authority, many thanks indeed, and I have to use those phrase, happy flying.
All right, good morning, thank you.
Fly.
Abigail LeMay.
Yes.
On Saturday, we were doing day two of part one of Sci-Fi Weekend at 10. Mm-hmm. Very confusing, anyway, it's all online now. And we were a little bit sad because when we launched the day, we just heard the news, obviously, the night before that Shane Rimmer had passed away.
Right, yes.
So we kind of did a tribute to that. David J. Howe, thankfully, also did a tribute on stage. And we've been kind of, over the last few weeks, or last few days, I should say, doing various tributes. Graham Harper was on yesterday. We've spoken to a variety of other folk as well. Delighted to actually welcome a gentleman who was with us for the very first Telefantasy and Society Symposium at the University of Lincoln. Hopefully the third one will be this year in November. He'll be able to make that to get the hat trick. It's Alan Stevens from Caldor City Productions. How are you, Alan?
Fine, thanks. Yeah, great.
So, I mean, Paul Darrow, Peter Miles, I mean, are you setting up a sort of a whole series of afterlife-oriented actors?
Paul Darrow?
Paul, yes, exactly. The whole range.
What do you mean, Paul Darrow?
I thought Paul Darrow. No, Paul Darrow's still with us, is he? He's not. Is he gone?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't be very impressed to know he's given death on radio.
And he's a fellow.
No, Paul Darrow isn't died. No, he's still there.
He's a fellow Manchester City supporter as well, to boot from that point of view.
And they need all the support they can get.
Thank you, Ryan. Anyway, let us move on. So
no,
you
Paul Darrow has not died.
That's
no.
Okay.
But Peter Miles, unfortunately, died.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a. That was last year. I was very close to Peter Miles for, over 30 years, and it was a big shock, really. It was a lovely guy.
You worked extensively
Shane Rimmer.
With Peter. Sadly, I don't think you never managed to produce Shane in any of the audio dramas that I hoped would manifest.
No, I didn't. I mean, the fact is that it's bizarre, really. I was watching a James Bond film called You Only Live Twice, and suddenly Shane Rimmer turned up on it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it's Shane Rimmer, and he's a great guy, Shane Rimmer. And then I watched a few days later. I was watching an episode of UFO, who's on one of the digital channels, and there was Shane Rimmer again, you know. Mm. And I thought, oh, he's trying to send me a message or something. Mm. And then the third day, he died, and I thought, oh no, because he was kind of like in the front of my head. And Shane Rimmer did an enormous amount of television, and was a hugely loved man. And, I think that, to be honest, he through his work, he will live forever because he'll be watching stuff. And, you know, he was in Doctor Who and Space 1999 and a lot of, groundbreaking stuff. And some loads of films he was in. And he was in, worked with Kubrick and a whole lot of series of stars. And his wife, Sheila, is an absolute lovely woman, you know. And it's a terrible shame that he's gone. I mean, when I last saw him was at a Doctor Who convention last year, where he was, very gracious and humorous, and But at that time, I thought, he seemed not quite as ebullient as he was before. You know, as he was, he was getting on. How old was he? 89, was it?
Indeed, and as we said when we were speaking to Graham last night, we lose one Canadian, but we gain Abigail. So one Canadian in, one Canadian. So I feel as though there's cosmic harmony, Abby, in terms of that.
I mean, really, can I fill those shoes, though?
One day.
Exactly.
You've started the acting already, so
exactly.
There we go.
Work at it.
And Shane started in radio. So that's all. Yeah.
Ta-da!
Exactly.
Shane did do some work for Frenio. There's a guy who's a director and filmmaker, isn't there? And he appeared in one of his science fiction
That would
events.
Be Darren Scales, of course,
yeah.
Of this very
yeah.
parish.
Because Darren Scales attended one of your symposiums and met Shane Rimmer, and they got on very well, and he worked with him, didn't he?
Exactly. In fact, Darren and myself are already planning the third Telefantasy Symposium, technically November the 14th, so
we'll
just see what actually happens. Ben, you obviously spoke to Shane and Sheila several times.
I did,
never
indeed.
Quite managed to meet them physically, though.
No, I'd love to have met Shane physically, but we've spoken on numerous occasions, and I reinforce what Alan said. Lovely people, both of them, and I know Sheila adored him, so my heart does go out to her at this moment in time. But I think reflecting on it all, rather than being sad about it, it's a case of celebrating what he's done in his work and his life, because he has accomplished a huge amount of triumphs in his life, and that should be celebrated accordingly.
Yeah. And Rory, any thoughts?
Well, growing up, I was actually a massive fan of the Thunderbirds. My parents bought me all of the every single episode of the puppet show.
32.
And I watched them all over and over and over and over again. And so to hear the voice of my favourite character, actually, Scott, has passed away is a terrible, terrible thing to hear.
And he also likes Doctor Who as well, does Rory. He's a keen Doctor Who fan. Not so much
Star Trek.
He's
in the Gunfighters. He's in the Gunfighters.
William
Hartnell. 1965.
That far back?
Was it 65? I thought it was 65. Are you sure it was 66?
1966. It was after Dark Master Plan.
Okay. That's all right. Anyway, as I say, we salute you, Shane. I'm sure we'll be hearing lots of tributes that will continue ever onwards, because that's what happens from that point of view. But we need to continue ever onwards. And how is life with yourself, Alan, these days? Any little plans you'd like to share with us at the moment, or is it a case of, can't say anything? I mean, obviously, still impressed with the joys of Celestial Toy Room, which you edited. Anything else you'd like to raise?
Well, I just spent the last week writing an article on The Dalek Invasion of Earth, the 1964 story by Terry Nation, and that's turned out. I really don't like articles that go over 2,000 words because they're always hard to write, you know, and you've got to edit it. But it's worked out as 4,117 words, and I finished that yesterday, which was a relief, and that goes in the July-August CT, which is now finished. So I've done a CT for May, and which has got an excellent article by Fiona Moore in. Well, a lot of very good articles, but there's a particularly good one by Fiona Moore, which points out that the story structure of the Resurrection of the Daleks was basically copied from the Weather Fear, and she goes into all the details of that. That's extremely good. And then there's this the July-August issue as well. So the next thing I need to do is to get on to Colin Brockhurst for the cover of the July-August one. The cover for the May one has already been done by Andy Lambert. So it's, you know, a fun. And what else have I been doing? Staring at snow at the moment as it comes in my garden. Is it snowing where you are?
No, it's sunshine. It always is in Lincoln. You should know that by now, Alan. I mean, Lincoln is the Los Angeles of the...
You've got your own sun.
Precisely.
We have indeed.
The Sunmakers, yeah. Only in Lincoln.
Yeah, definitely. Abigail, have you ever seen an episode of Doctor Who in Canada? Given that he was a Canadian who effectively was partly responsible for setting the whole thing up in the guise of Sydney Newman back in the day.
Doctor Who is actually kind of a big deal in Canada too. But I don't think I've seen a full episode. Like, I've definitely seen bits and pieces, but I've not actually sat down and watched it, only because there were already so many seasons.
Don't worry about it. Just dive straight in.
No, I just feel I need to explain just myself.
No, never do that.
Don't have to watch. The show is constructed in such a way that you don't have to know any of the backstory at all. You know. You
Oh yeah, because it's kind of like an anthology, isn't it? It's a different.
No, not really.
Season.
But well, I mean, there is no. In reality, there is no sort of continuity in Doctor Who. You know, we know that there's been, you know, 13 actors have played the part or whatever, but there's no, you know, it isn't a case where you have to have watched the Daleks Master Plan or have to have watched, you know, to have any backstory on watching it. It's just, you know, a bit like Star Trek. Remember when you used to watch Star Trek and when the episode would come on and you'd watch it and it would be self-contained, you know, so there's nothing like that. You can just sit and watch an episode, you know.
There we are.
You don't have to worry about the fact that it, you know, start watching them from 1963.
If it gets boring on your dance collection on Saturday, you can always just watch some episodes of Doctor Who.
That's
on
true. I'll just download them. Yeah. Do you guys have them on Netflix over here?
Of course we do.
Yeah, they're all on Netflix at the moment. Well, all the new series from 85.
Aside from Series 11, Series 11 is not on Netflix yet.
Isn't it?
I don't think so, no.
Not yet, no. But
Is it on, what's the iPlayer?
Yes.
Oh, iPlayer, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there we are, Abby. So you see, you've got 10 seasons worth. So actually,
no excuse. No. It's a good show.
Rory.
No, there'll be questions next week.
Exactly.
You've got to watch it all now.
Oh, my gosh.
No pressure.
Starting from 2005, you've got to watch every single episode. How many seasons is that? 11?
11.
Beginning with Rose. Rory, would you like to ask Alan Stevens those two final interrogatives, please?
I can indeed, Alex. Alan, we'll start that one again. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today on the show?
Yes, I have, yeah. Yes. It's a pity it would be nice under nicer circumstances. It's very sad that a very well.
And Midweek Drive has passed on. People do. We haven't lost many, but those that have gone before, it's obviously they're paving the way. That's the important thing.
For what? Mm. Brexit.
Don't get started on that one, please.
And will you be joining us again soon?
Well, up to Alex, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think...
He's the Commander-in-Chief.
Oh,
he's the Supreme Commander, yes. Oh. Jacqueline Pierce, she died, didn't she?
Yes, exactly, she did.
Yeah,
yes.
Last year, yeah.
Well, never mind. People do.
They should cut it out. They should stop it. It's just too upsetting.
There we are. The words of Alan Stevens. If you think you're dying, don't do it! I know you're not joining us in Scarborough on Saturday, but do you know what other exciting thing is taking place in Lincoln at Lincoln Castle on Saturday the 6th of April at 10 a.m? That would be in the morning. Well, it's only the launch of the forget-me-not flower display with 1,000 iron handmade flowers, all made in memory of loved ones, with all funds going towards the St Barnabas Hospital.
That
is that exciting?
Beautiful.
And even more beautiful is the fact that we can now speak to one of the coordinators of that. It's the amazing Sam Waterer. How are you, Sam?
Hi, good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. And we gather you're up at the castle at this very moment.
We are, yeah. We've brought the first load of flowers up with us, mm-hmm. so we can start installing tomorrow, ready for the display to be open on Saturday.
Fantastic. Well, in your own words, Sam, we had high hopes for the appeal, but we are overwhelmed by the response so far. The Forget-Me-Not project has been a year in the planning, and I cannot wait to see the final installation with more than 1,000 flowers on the embankment of Lincoln Castle. You must be pretty pleased about how the last 365 days has panned out then.
Like I say, absolutely overwhelmed. We didn't expect the response that we've got. There are still people dedicating the flowers now, and we've just gone over 1,300. So and you can still buy them at the display as well. So I have no idea where we're going to finish up, but obviously the funds towards the hospice are going to be incredible. So yeah.
It's opening up a whole range of elements within that. Let's open it up to the studio team to actually quiz you about this further things, because obviously it's a charity we're more than happy to support and work through. Let's go to Ben Lewis.
Yes, well, we've supported Sir Barnabas in the last
PR.
Years, haven't we? Yes,
exactly.
Signet PR. So, no, it's a charity we're all very familiar with here at the uni. But, yes, tell us a bit more about the event itself and perhaps how many people you're expecting over the course of the next few days.
Well, the display actually was for 2 weeks, with the big finale being on Easter Sunday, but we've had to actually extend it by another week. And just because of the response that we've got, the amount of people we're expecting to have, the castle are predicting about 4,000, 5,000 people through the doors every day. Obviously, we've got our supporters on top of that as well, so I think we're going to be very busy. They've certainly caused quite a stir as well. Fingers crossed we're going to be nice and busy.
Excellent.
It's worth noting, of course, that St Barnabas Hospice provides free services, but you still need to raise over £5.5 million a year to provide your support and care. You've got over 1,100 volunteers playing a crucial role in the charity's success. I suppose, Sam, actually huge celebrations must have been provided when you actually signed up the awesome media chambers under this whole system. I mean, surely, you know, it's like signing the equivalent of Lionel Messi and Sergio Aguero in terms of coordinating terms, really. But
she's absolutely fabulous. We're really pleased to have her on board.
Oh, I should say so too. Abigail, before you go off to Canada, will you be checking out this display at Lincoln Castle?
Yes, I will. I think that sounds amazing. And I love anything that has, relatively anything to do with art, and it sounds like it's going to be beautiful. So definitely won't miss it.
There we are. So running from this Saturday right the way through to middle of April? End of April?
It's the 28th of April is the final day for it.
Yeah, fantastic. Rory, thoughts from yourself?
I've got one question that's really on my mind. How many people have you got making all of these handmade flowers?
Mm. Well, the honest answer is one. So he's a fabulous Greek guy called Stephanos, who is hand-making every single one of them, and with the help of his wife, she's helping to paint them. And so they've been working day and night to get all of them all of them ready for the display.
And how many did you say that you had?
Well, we're on 1,300 at the moment.
Wow.
So he's been a very busy man. I know, bless him. They've been absolutely incredible.
That is amazing.
I mean, that is a serious amount of Greek floral making and floral arranging.
A lot of soil as well, isn't it?
Keeping them busy.
It's extraordinary. So, I mean, how did you get involved with the charity yourself, Sam? Was it a case, I mean, obviously as the St Barnabas individual giving fundraiser, you're clearly one of the key sort of aspects of this. What was it that appealed as opposed to, I don't know, other charities and so that are actually out there?
It was the reputation of St Barnabas. So I think everybody knows somebody, everybody knows the name, the great care that they provide, and I've never heard a bad word about the charity. Everybody just praises them. And to be able to help people, with life-limited and terminal illnesses, have dignified care, I think is something really special. And if we can do some fun things that raise awareness to help people like that, I think, what a job to have. So I'm very proud to represent them.
It's the forget-me-not appeal. Again, you've already sort of crashed through the 1,000 donation barrier for iron floral display, as we've already said, from that point of view. How can people support the project, etc.? Would you simply go to the St Barnabas Hospice website, stbarnabashospice.co.uk/FMN, obviously forget-me-not.
Yep, so the easiest thing to do is go online. I think the loveliest thing would be to come and see us. So we're here for 3 weeks from Saturday the 6th of April through to the 28th. We've got an amazing bunch of volunteers that are coming to support us. You can come and have a roam around the meadow, look at the flowers. You can order them on site as well. Also our shops across the county as well. We've got 26 shops that have all got leaflets in there, and the staff can talk to you all things about forget-me-nots.
Well, I think you've sold it to us from that point of view. Ben, will you be checking out this display?
Yeah, I'd certainly like to, and I hope a lot of other people will do as well. Is it free as well, isn't it?
From our point of view, yes, it's free of charge to have a look at the flowers.
Lovely.
Well, I mean, that's just getting better from that. But even obviously better. Make a donation. It's the Forget Me Not Flower display. It launches this Saturday, 6:30 or 10 a.m. As I said in my response, tragically, we'll be in Scarborough at the seaside, but our thoughts will be with you, and hopefully we'll catch up in a few other sort of ways. Of course, Abigail, you will be around, so after your dance thing, you might drop by.
I probably will, honestly. It's supposed to be nice on Friday, so hopefully that leaks over into Saturday.
Leaks over. See what
you know,
there.
The warmth just kind of seeps into Saturday.
Either way, it's always glorious. And Rory, will you be sorting this thing out yourself?
Oh, of course. You see, no question.
I don't know. I didn't sense sincerity there, Rory. I mean, we want to have a yes on this, but we go with that. Sam, I mean, I have to, the obvious line about Sam Waterer. Obviously, you need to water flowers. Sorry, I couldn't really resist that, etc. But just describe the scene as you're actually up there at present. I mean, what are you kind of looking at? Can you see you're doing this, and when we set up this little piece, we said that you'd be sort of live from the actual piece itself. How's it sort of shaping at present?
Well, we've literally been here for about an hour or so, so it's literally getting all the boring stuff out of the way first, all the equipment that we need, starting to get the flowers out. We've actually just had a flyover by the Red Arrows as well. Sure, it wasn't for us, but...
Oh, I don't know. We set it. We set it up especially for you. Really.
We always do. We're very well linked.
Yes, yeah. Very
true. It looks very green at the minute, very bare, and very calm. So I think this time tomorrow could be very different.
It'll be amazing. Sam Waterer, St. Barnabas Individual Giving Fundraiser Extraordinaire. Many thanks indeed. Sam, has it been an okay interview for yourself? Have you been on Siren Radio before? Is this a first for yourself?
This is a first for me. I've not been on Siren before, so thank you for having me.
It shall not be the last, either.
I was just going to say, will you return?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Maybe we should get Amelia and Sam together in the same studio one day.
We have to bring some flowers in.
Obviously. Happy trails, and keep up the excellent work, Sam. All the very best.
Thank you very much.
No, it's raining.
Woke up one morning half asleep with all my blankets in a heap and yellow roses scattered all around. The time was still approaching for I couldn't stand it anymore. So Mary goes upon my eider down. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Time to catch the sight that I was seeking. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain keeping me cool. If this perfect pleasure has a key, then this is how it has to be. If my dinner is getting wet, I don't see that it matters much to me. In the breeze, make conversation with the trees. Really need to leave reality behind me. With my commitments in a mess, my sleep is gone away deep rest. In a world of fantasy, you'll find me. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain.
The story is Bring a Brolly, Flowers in the Rain, the move, which of course has its part in British pop cultural history. Why, Rory, why is Flowers in the Rain by the Move, that Birmingham band fronted by Roy Wood, such a significant part of British broadcasting pop cultural history?
I can't say that I know, Alex.
Ben?
I don't know. My pop trivia is not great.
I won't ask Abigail because she has no clue.
Bruce would not be proud.
It was the first ever record played on BBC Radio 1 in 1967.
Wow.
Okay, I'll just throw that out there. Still sounding fairly fresh, still sounding fairly positive, which is
very
all great stuff. Meanwhile, keeping the floral theme going.
Francisco. Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna meet some gentle people there. For those who come to San Francisco, summertime will be a loving day. In the streets of San Francisco, gentle
still wearing flowers in his hair in whichever part of the galaxy he happens to be these days. Up next, we'll be speaking to TV presenter and Well Child ambassador Gabby Roslin and the chief executive of Well Child, because we want more well children, and that's what we're all about on Siren Radio. Time check, it's just coming around to 19 minutes to 10 a.m. That's 19 minutes to 10 a.m. I know, frightening, isn't it? I mean, just
time flies.
Literally, especially when you actually throw the alarm clock across the bedroom. We'll be right back.
the sky. I open up your heart, tell me, how do you feel? Listen and I'll tell them everything, right here, right now. Alright, everybody here in the world, you are all the children. I, together now, unite and fight. Oh, open up your heart. No, peace, love for everyone. Oh, no, 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 no. I, to the four corners of the world, sing it out, sing it loud, sing it loud and loud. World, hold on.
Hold on, because we are all children of the sky, and the positivity, the energy that is actually manifested every time you encounter TV presenter extraordinaire and well child ambassador Gabby Roslin. It's tangible, it's exciting. Gabby, welcome back to the Midweek Drive.
Oh, thank you very much. Lovely to speak to you.
Oh, always a pleasure, Gabby, and a genuine delight. And now, of course, we also welcome Chief Executive from Well Child, of course, Colin Dyer. How are you, Colin?
Very well, thank you.
Now, clearly, this is it's a no-brainer in terms of this fantastic event that has been put together, the Well Child Reach and so on and so forth. Colin, just tell us a little bit about Well Child and your involvement with it as Chief Executive of this awesome charity.
We are a national charity across the UK providing care and support for seriously ill children, children with very complex care needs, and everything that their families need so they can care for those children at home in the very best way possible.
Now, Gabby, I gather you were first introduced to Well Child back in 2014, so nearly five English years ago, with Well Child Helping Hands. Is it something which you just thought, yeah, this is definitely something I want to support and get proactive with?
Absolutely. I think actually even before that I went along to one of their awards, and so I was blown away by the awards, but by mainly meeting the young people and their families and the healthcare professionals. And then when they asked me to do their Helping Hands dinner, and then they asked me to, I think it's 5 years, I would have hosted the actual World Child Awards. And then they asked me to be an ambassador. It was a very easy yes. I sort of jumped in, head first, feet first, the whole of me,
oh,
in fact.
Wow.
No head, no first, I just jumped in. And it's very important. It's become a big part of my life, a very important part of my year as well. So launching the awards and just reminding everybody about this incredible charity. I wish more people knew about them, so the more often you can talk about Well Child would be wonderful. It's a charity for children who are facing unbelievable complications in their life through illness, and also the families around them, the young people who support them, the healthcare professionals, the volunteers. And we're just, what we do is we, for the awards, we're saying, well done. We're giving them a pat on the back very publicly, and they get to come along to an amazing star-studded event if they're in the last, if they win, of course. And we get so many nominations.
I was going to say, because you can nominate up until Tuesday the 7th of May.
Yes, you've got a month.
inspirational child or young person, outstanding professional, most caring child, and indeed young person.
Exactly.
Great stuff. We've got young people in the studio. We've got Abigail LeMay from Canada. Abigail, questions for either Gabby or indeed Colin.
Sure, I guess this might be for both of you. I'm just curious, how would someone like me get involved?
Colin, over to you.
Oh, there's lots of ways to get involved. I mean, for the Well Child Awards in particular, it's spreading the word and making sure that anybody who could be nominated is nominated. In terms of the work we do volunteer programs all across the country. We go into the homes of families and make sure that the spaces that the children that they are caring for are suitable for their needs, whether that's bedrooms, gardens, storage space for lots of medication, all those kinds of things. So if you have a look at our website, wellchild.org.uk, there's lots of volunteering opportunities on there at our events, even coming along and cheering like a lunatic at the London Marathon when our 200 runners go past is really important. Yeah, 200. And also for young people especially, if you're on social media, as Gabby said earlier, spread the word, because the more the word about what we do gets out there, the more work we can do.
Well, one of our social media gurus at the University of Lincoln with Sync PR, of course. I don't know, Ben, can I refer to you as a young person now you've passed your driving test? I mean, it sounds very mature.
Depends how you define young, I suppose, isn't it? I mean, 22 is a bit young in the grand.
Do you think so, Gabby? I mean, I would just say he's well over the hill now.
But you know? I act like a pensioner without my own thing. Or maybe I'm just mature.
Okay, Ben, yes. Any questions for Gabby or Colin?
Yeah, so I kind of both of you, really. Firstly, Gabby, how did you first become involved in this? And also, can you give us a few examples of the complications and the issues that some of these young people are facing?
Well, I first became involved when I was invited along to the awards. And luckily I got to meet the young people and their families and the healthcare professionals. And to actually meet them, it's extraordinary. I don't know, at your young age as well, I don't know whether you wake up and you moan about something. So you'll think, oh, I didn't sleep well.
You met him,
okay.
Obviously. Every day.
I've got a hangover, or I've got, oh dear, I've got a spot. Yeah. Oh no, my foot's sore. Oh,
don't get him started on car parking in Sheffield, Gabby. It's a whole new world.
All of those things pale into insignificance when you meet these young people and they don't moan. They smile. They celebrate life. They do things for other people. No matter how ill they may be, they're always there to help other people, and it is a very humbling experience, and they inspire me. All of these people inspire me, and their families, all with big smiles on their faces. And I personally think that life is too short and that we should celebrate every day, and these young people and these healthcare professionals certainly do, and do it all with a smile on their faces, no matter what they're facing. And Colin can give you an idea of some of the past winners and the things that they've coped with and facing.
Mm. Colin.
Well, Well Child, we're not a condition-specific charity, so we're here for all seriously ill children. That's children who range from conditions from cancer at one end to the very rare genetic conditions that people will never heard of. There are thousands of those conditions that may only affect 10, 20 or 30 young people, but add those numbers together, you get a huge amount of people. There's over 100,000 children and young people in the UK living with serious illness, and that they're often a forgotten group. And a lot of these children have very, very complex, serious health needs, 24/7 health needs, which then has a big impact on the family, which is why at Well Child, the work we do is all about supporting the family and focusing on what families need to care for their children rather than just focusing on the condition.
Rory, another young person from Bedfordshire. Any questions from yourself?
Yes. Don't know quite who this one goes to, but I've been reading the information. And the Duke of Sussex, lovely Prince Harry, has attended all of your previous events. What do the children do anything special for when he comes down?
I mean, do they say, it's the husband of Meghan Markle? Really impressive person.
Well, actually, that did happen last year. It's wonderful because both of them were there last year. He's very heavily involved, in fact, so much so that he's the patron of the charity. So he is very, very involved with this, and she loved it as well last year. And there was a choir, our winning choir, which Colin will tell you all about the choir as well, but it was an extraordinary choir of young people with all sorts of complex needs. And they were singing along, and one child very loudly shouted out, "Look! There's Meghan!" And it was just delightful, and she was thrilled, actually. She was absolutely thrilled. So he's very heavily involved. He's not just somebody who turns up to the awards, as Colin can tell you. He actually goes along, meets the young people. He's gone out to the hospitals, all sorts of things.
I think we've come full circle from our royal correspondent, Richard Fitzwilliams, right the way through to Gabby Rosen. Yeah,
it's phenomenal. It's a very royal show.
Moving on, Abigail, any final thoughts from yourself?
I guess final thoughts. I just think it's a really wonderful thing.
And that's spoken as a Canadian.
Yes, okay. I am Canadian and I did say that.
No, it's very true. Well, I mean, the campaign, I've said, actually, much as we love some of our sort of broadcasts, etc., ultimately there is only one Gabby Roslin. I think the campaign to actually have Dame Gabby Roslin and sort of some kind of civil recognition.
God bless you, but this is about the kids. Can we give you the...
of course you can. Of course you can, Gabby, yes.
Bless you. Thank you, Alex. It's www.wellchild, that's all one word, .org.uk. That's wellchild.org.uk. And please get your nominations in by the 7th of May, and thank you for being very good.
Oh, it's been absolutely awesome. Can we have a round of applause for Colin Dyer and Gabby Roslin, please? Actually, I haven't quite finished yet, Gabby, because I'm going to actually test your musical knowledge here. Not a test, really. We can either have Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young with Teach Your Children, or Molly and Children of the Universe. Which one would you want to go for? Which one sort of say, we go with that one?
Oh, do you know what? Mm-hmm. So I choose all the music. This is where I get the plug-in for my Sunday afternoon show.
Well, this is good. Yeah. See what we did there?
I choose all the music, and I think what I'd like to do is pass that over to that fantastic young lady you got in the studio, because I think she's fantastic. Go on, ask her.
There you are, Abigail, you see.
Go on, Abigail.
Go for it. Are we going Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
Go, Abigail.
Or Molly?
I'll say Molly.
Yay!
It was the Eurovision song, wasn't it? Eurovision.
She's gone for Molly. Excellent. Success. Happy to say it. Remember, it's Well Child you need to actually support. Go and support that whole thing. Colin Dyer and Gabby Roslin, many thanks indeed. We salute you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been tired of this thinking. So I've drowned it out by drinking. Tastes like a bitter pill, but I'll just wash it down with the taste of something sweet that some doctor gave me now. And this is a madness. I'm not giving in. We're shining like diamonds with fire in our bones. Standing beside you, I'm the feeling that stirring in the silence, and it reeks of passive violence. Hold on tight, this opportunity will take. Put an end to all the suffering before it gets too late. Hope's on the horizon.
Hopefully William Sitwell will be back with us next week. He was ready today, apparently. Oops, never mind. Don't forget, we have got our very own Sound and Country Vision coming up just after 7 o'clock this evening with Tessa Snart.
and Chloe Rose and a whole range of things. We mentioned, obviously, Britain's first national country radio station also launches this week. It's all very exciting. Ben has had to go off to a seminar, and quite rightly so. And Rory will be leaving us as well in a few seconds, because we'll all be leaving. In fact, Abigail will be leaving as well. But we will be back next week, will we not, Abigail?
Yes, we will.
Will we not, Rory?
We will indeed.
Exactly. That's fantastic stuff. News coming up from the Sky News Centre. And then a whole range of fantastic songs. What should we say about Happy April we had yesterday? Should we stick with that?
There's got to be something else.
There's got to be something there. What about the floral? Happy floral tribute day. It's not really a day as yet.
Right. It's going to be an interesting.
We haven't really worked out our scripting on this. So shall we just say Happy Floral Flower Appeal Bloom Day?
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Happy Floral Appeal Day. Nailed it.
Wonderful. That was so accurate.
True.
We love flowers.
Siren Radio, bringing you accuracy at all costs.
Oh, in the end, you dream about, I think about what we could have been. We could have been.